Welcome to Film Forum's podcast. The following event was recorded on April 22nd, 2015, live at our theaters located at 209 West Houston Street in Manhattan.
This week marks the 40th anniversary of the takeover of Phnom Penh and Cambodia by the Khmer Rouge, and with it, along with the destruction of so many lives, the destruction of that capital city and its vital, enticing cultural life. There have been a number of documentaries that have been made about this era, some of which have played here at Film Forum, including The Missing Picture, but none have really captured and brought to life the pre-1975 Cambodian culture in quite the way this film has. John has really created a film that not only explores and really reconstructs a lost and vibrant music scene, but he's also created a film that is poetic and has a mystique to it all of its own. And I'm very excited that not only is John joining us afterwards for a Q&A, but, and this is the only show that we're doing like this during the run, the surviving musicians, a number of surviving musicians from the film will appear afterwards on stage to take your questions. So you absolutely want to stay for the Q&A. We'll see you after the film. Please welcome the director of Don't Think I've Forgotten, John Perazzi.
Hey, thank you, everyone. I'd like to introduce our special guest. First, from the first guitar band, surf guitar band in Cambodia, Baxi Shim Krong, we have Mol Kagnol, guitar player. And all the way from Paris, his brother, Mol Kamak, the singer. And also from Baxi Shim Krong, Sam Lee Hong, rhythm guitar player. And from the Bayon Band, from Paris. And finally, from the Dra Ka Band, Sang Tana, a singer, songwriter, guitar player, keyboard player, everything. Why don't you guys have a
seat? Have
seats.
Oh, we're missing.
Okay,
we'll get another one. Okay. So, John, I thought we could start. I just wanted to talk to you a bit about the research. I mean, this is, you know, you've said that this was 10 years in the making, this film, and there's an incredible trove of archival footage and music that, you know, presumably was stamped out by the Khmer Rouge. How did you go about finding this great material, and what obstacles did you run into as you were assembling all of this?
You know, originally we went to all the usual places you would go, like the National Archives here, the INA in France, the larger archival facilities that are out there. And once we sort of tapped all those, we started to go a little deeper and actually went out to the Cambodian community and the various diasporic communities and also within Cambodia. But what was really, for me, what really sort of brought it all together too, the more personal elements to it, were people who wanted to be involved in the story, who maybe had some photographs or a little bit of footage or music and wanted to see this film be made. And it really took a lot of people to come together to make the film that you see on the screen today. So it was really, really a big communal effort. It wasn't just a small group of people in terms of people contributing to what we were able to pull together. Yeah.
I also understand that a lot of the music over the years, that there were things added to some of the recordings, and so you had to really do some research to find clean copies of this material.
Yeah, that was a really big concern for me for the first half of making the film, because the music has survived, but not in good shape. For Cambodians, this music is so important that it was copied and copied and copied and distributed all through the diaspora communities and within Cambodia. But to find clean, high-quality copies, it was very difficult. What ended up happening, I think because the tapes were in such disrepair, people would take them and add other instruments onto them to make it sound, you know, like they'd add cymbals and hi-hats if there was like the high end was out of the tape. And so that was a really big concern. But what ended up happening was we found a lot of record collectors and who had small little bits and pieces of everything. And the records are essentially now the master tapes, because all the master tapes are gone. And those record collectors really came together to provide the cleaner and higher quality copies that we were fortunate to find for the film.
That's great. And we should also bring on stage Jason Jones, who was one of your researchers. Sure. Please welcome Jason Jones. And he's also helping us with translation tonight. And I was wondering if we could talk to the musicians a bit about your reactions to seeing the film. I know you saw it last year. It was screened in Phnom Penh.
The first public screening was in Phnom Penh. Yeah.
And what it felt like really to see this work that you had done after so much pain and suffering in Cambodia, that you were able to finally share this music with audiences and maybe find a new generation of people who would be turned on to this work that you did.
Yeah, maybe Mr. Amol Kamak can start.
Yeah.
Jason, you
J'ai pas de mots à dire à part de remerciements sincères pour vous tous. J'ai pas pensé que je suis ici devant vous tous. Pour ça, bon.
I don't have the words to describe how it feels to be in front of you. And I didn't really expect to ever be in front of you. I would say that'd be the gist of it.
Et merci beaucoup d'avoir pensé à nous, la musique de nous, la musique khmer, donc, qui est déjà bon, dans un côté du monde que nous, on n'a pas pensé, mais vous faites revivre notre musique. C'est très formidable. Ça m'a beaucoup touché.
I imagine there's a lot of people who understood that, but basically, for those of you who didn't, hey, thanks you very much for being interested in Khmer music and for helping to kind of facilitate a rebirth of it. This is another thing he kind of didn't think he'd ever see. So.
Depuis mon enfance jusqu'à maintenant, j'ai pas pensé à ça, mais tout d'un coup, comme vous nous faites naître pour la seconde fois. Ceci. Je suis très très content. Je suis j'ai beaucoup d'émotions. J'ai du mal à exprimer, mais c'est pas tout est dans le cœur. Voilà.
From to have all of this from his childhood or his I would say youth come back is very unexpected, and he's very moved. And Mr. Sam Lai Hong threw in very ému, which is very moved. And again, thank you for coming.
I would like to just like exchanging the idea with you. Just a question that how react reaction from the floor when the premiere of Dang Thien Phuong Kathan in Cambodia last year? Because all the young people, they shout out, wow, Cambodia like that. Before, we didn't know that. We have our origin. We have our rock and roll origin of the rock and roll, even that. The rock and roll inspired from United States, from the Western country, from Britain or England, but you know we can make our origin also, and everyone said that we're so proud with that, but this is an untold story that now illustrated by an American, John Perosi.
Somebody had to do it. And I think that was really one of the nicest things about the screening in Phnom Penh were the young people who came up to us, because they had heard about this time, but they had never really seen it in any detail. So to bring it to them on the big screen there was really special for us.
And also I would like to add a little bit, you know, a lot of people say that, why don't this movie, you know, moving around the country, that to show to everyone throughout the country. But John said, we will do it later on, but you know, it's a time.
It
take a lot of time. It's how to organize a lot of things.
We're actually hoping to take it to the provinces and to the countryside and do a tour with it towards the end of the year, which I'm really excited about. I'd like to talk to Samley, too. And Samley, Jason, if you can translate.
J'ai quelque chose à vous dire aussi que je suis très content de bien vous voit ici et c'était mon rêve et maintenant c'est my dream is come true.
I don't think I could top that, but it is his dream.
Au début, j'étais jeune au Cambodge. J'écoutais beaucoup de les radios américains. C'était Septième Flotte dans la mer de l'Indochine. Et j'ai entendu beaucoup de chansons de Elvis Presley. Et j'ai dit, ah, celui-là, il est bon. Je vais apprendre à chanter beaucoup de rock and roll. Et maintenant, ça devient Elvis Diallo.
When I was a young person in Cambodia, I would listen to the radio broadcast from the U.S. 7th Fleet in the South China Sea, and hearing songs of Elvis Presley and other American artists, and it was really wonderful. So,
you know, when I first met Sam, it was probably 5 or 6 years ago, at least now, he's still playing. He was playing in a Portuguese pizzeria outside of Paris. And it was so great because he had a little boombox and he had his guitar and his big glasses and the mic and he just hit play and everyone loved it. And but people were like trying to squeeze by him with their pizza boxes and he would just back up to the wall. And he never stopped playing, which I think is really great. Maybe Jason, if you can just translate that quickly.
J'ai un petit mot à vous dire aussi que depuis 50 ans, je fais des musique rock and roll depuis au Cambodge jusqu'à Paris. Et je suis toujours continué à travailler dans les chansons de rock and roll international. Et c'est un jour, c'était 2002-2003, et j'ai eu une nouvelle. John voulait me rencontrer et une fois m'a rencontré à Paris, on a adopté cette idée-là ensemble pour faire des films de cinéma. Et ça m'a beaucoup touché que je dois remercier beaucoup John parce que qui a amené les espoirs pour arriver là, ce soir, 12 ans plus tard, voilà. Voilà, c'est merci, merci beaucoup.
Mr. Hong says that he has been playing rock and roll music for 50 years, from starting in Cambodia and continuing in France, and this is a huge part of his life. And in 2003, he got a call from Mr. Perazzi, who wanted to meet him, and here we are.
Yeah, I also want to bring Mol Cagnol from Backseat Shame Krong because they truly were the first guitar band, and he was just 13, 14 years old when he formed the band. And I think he's such a great musician. He's such a pure musician. And what's really interesting for me was also now Tana from the Jaka is here. He's a bit older, and Tana remembers being that big and going to see Backseat Shame Krong. So not only were they influenced by Western musicians, but they were influencing each other. I mean, they're... The whole scene was long enough that they actually had a few different, you know, generations of musicians. So the fact that they're both here now and they're going to be playing together on Friday is pretty soon. Yeah.
Merci beaucoup. Merci. Et bonne soirée encore.
Oh, my turn? Well, after the first show on black and white TV in Cambodia, I think it's back in 1960. And the day after, I saw a kid on the sidewalk with a broomstick trying to imitate my guitar player. I thought I never thought anything back then, but right now, reflect back to that time, that's what the big influence is all about.
Yeah, the one thing making this film that really reinforced the one thing that was really reinforced for me making the film is everything truly is connected. I mean, and such little things can lead to such big things, and that's a very special thing, and I think they represent that in so many ways.
Well, in that movie, I did mention about I got all the boy around me and my brother got all the girl. That is the remark of my parents, because after the show, we kind of stand around and talking. And then the circle got bigger and bigger and bigger, and we split in two circles. And my circle is more boy than his circle. That's my remark from my parent.
Should we take questions?
Yeah, we have time to take some questions from the audience. Just raise your hand, and we can pass the microphone around. Yes, on the aisle here. If you can talk into the mic, please.
How did you decide to make this movie? What's your... background?
I was in Cambodia working on a film, a really great film that Matt Dillon made called City of Ghosts. And I hadn't really thought about going to Cambodia until I got the call to do it. And when I got to Phnom Penh and saw what had been there, you could feel something had been there before. I mean, at that time in 2001, it was still struggling to get back up on its feet. But the architecture, and there's something in the air, you knew. Like, well, I was like, what was it? Because there was no way to find out. There was no, you know, other films or really any even books. And so then when I heard the music, I was like, well, wait a minute, what's this? And the music that was got to hear had no information about it. There was no track listings or no artist names. So I just out of my own personal curiosity, I'm like, well, there's only, you know, one way to find out about it is to make a film about it. It's probably the hardest way to find out about it, but it was just pretty much that. And one thing I want to say is I always knew I had great music. I was like, well, maybe we won't find any archival material, and maybe we won't even find anyone to interview, but we could just play the music for 90 minutes on a black screen, and it'd still be pretty good.
Hi, I'm Cambodian. I just want to pay respect to the two singers, Kamaj and Leida, that I know, whom I know since more than 50 years ago. And they are still good friends of my brother who were in Paris. Kamaj, Leida, see you. Okay.
Thank you.
Hope you're coming Friday night.
It's so interesting to hear music from my time, because that was, seeing all those cars from 1955 and 57, and so the crossover for me has been very, very resonant with my own experience. And I have been in Phnom Penh, and I also had another flash just right here that I wanted to share, and that is some artwork of an artist named Tim Lim, and he has done a lot of the painting. His paintings have been a lot to bring alive images of.
Do you have a question?
And I was going to ask how they. Yeah, thank you. Yeah. I was going to ask how, if at all, you have found kind of building bridges with artists who are also bringing back some of that same spirit of the time.
Well, you mean artists currently working today?
Or who have come back to Cambodia trying to recapture.
There's an amazing scene going on there now, yeah. And it's really interesting to see. I think it's taken, obviously, a long time. The Khmer Rouge only laid down their arms. It was 1998. That whole part of the story isn't in the film, but you can certainly look into it. So I think things are happening there. Things are changing very quickly there, and there's a whole new generation of young people that are really curious about their past and about making art. And if you get to go there anytime in the near future, you'll see it. Yeah, it's actually exciting what's happening right now.
Next question. There's one in back, in the blue shirt.
Do any of you guys know if Laos and Vietnam also, or maybe Thailand as well, but more Laos and Vietnam, also had a sort of, you know, similar music scene, a local music scene prior to communist takeover?
Yes. Okay, I can answer, just try to answer about that. You know, in 1970, we went out to play music for the American base in Vietnam. And then we found out that there's some Vietnamese music also, but it's not so much like in Cambodia. Because, you know, I would like to inform you that, to tell you that after 1963, when the King started to make a big contest of the rock and roll band, you know, in Cambodia, from that time, and also including with the inspiration or with the picture or the Beatles or the Rolling Stone of many other, you know, star from United States, so American stars, you know, everyone like to hold the guitar. Everyone, all the young people, including me and the other people, you know, like to play guitar and want to show, you know, and there is more than 100 bands in one small town of about 200,000 people. You can imagine that. And then everyone said that, you know, oh, so incredible. Yeah. that's why, you know, during that time, also, I would like to tell you, in Thailand, Lao, I don't know, maybe Lao is not so much, but in Thailand, in 1970s, the rock and roll, Cambodian rock and roll moved to Thailand, you know, mixed up with the Filipino band to play in Thailand. And the Thai inspired from that, you know, and Thai evolved from that, their rock and roll from that period of time since 1970.
Yeah, no, that's really interesting. I would say the short answer is yes, there were, but it wasn't as extensive as in Cambodia. You know, I was actually so busy making the film, I didn't really have time to even look that deeply into it because it took so much of my attention, honestly.
Next question. There's one right over here. Yeah, you.
Hi, I was lucky enough to hear the two of you with Gary on Bodega Pop the other day. And John, you made the statement that the United States and the UK aside, you thought that Cambodia was the number one producer of rock and roll in the world.
I had a couple of beers when I did that show. Sorry. No, seriously.
All right, now that you've sobered up, would you like to revisit that remark at all?
Yeah, no, I will stand by that statement. And I'm looking for people to argue that point, maybe not here right now, but I mean, it's amazing when you see how much music there is and the quality of it. Okay, think about European rock and roll. Yeah, there's Serge Gainsbourg, and there's people in France and Italy and Germany, but in terms of the amount and the quality, it just, where else do you look? No, of course there's great music there, but again, in terms of the quantity and quality, you know, maybe you're right. I don't know. It would be an interesting thing to look into a little more deeply. But, you know, one thing, too, is that... Well, I forgot what I was going to say. Anyway, next question.
Okay. Well, good. We actually have just one more question. Yes? Right here. Yep.
First of all, thanks, John, and all the musicians on stage. It was, no argument, my hands down, a great film. I'm a first generation, so Cambodian, and there's, in my generation, it's hard to find information on what's going on during that period. So... my question is, one, when you screened this film in Phnom Penh for the first time, what was the reaction of the young generation? And two questions. Second one is, during your period at that time, were there any female bands or female guitar players?
These guys should definitely answer that one. Were there?
Yeah, we have some female guitar player right now. Uh-huh. Some female musician also. But at my time... female singer just sing. Doesn't know any instrument at all. But now I can see it, they can play instrument and sing. Okay.
Well, I know Sing Van T was classically trained and she knew how to play the piano, but I don't know if she ever actually did it live or professionally. So, I mean, in terms of the screening, I think I spoke about it earlier. It was an overwhelming reaction from young people, and it was really a great... people talked to us about how now they understood their parents' generation, and every... you know, most kids hate their parents' music, and Cambodians are no different. And until they understood the context of it, and so that's been a really nice thing about screening the film that I didn't anticipate. But if there's any other time for any other questions for them, these guys, you know,
maybe one more for the musicians. Then we have to go. We have a line outside of people eagerly awaiting to get in and see this film. Yes, over here. Question is, he sees sadness but not anger, given what happened, and
Jason,
he's wondering if this is a cultural issue.
I believe it just, my opinion is, for my personal problem is, we lost so many people in my family alone, over 20 persons was killed. We are only two survivors. I do have seven brothers and seven family, not just brother. So niece and nephew added all up, over 20. But to be able to survive, somehow you had to press that down in your head, not to bring it up, and continue on education, try to transfer knowledge from French language to English, so be able to work in this country. And when the film come up, I watched one time. The first time, I didn't get it. It's just like something strange to me in my head somewhere that didn't surface. And then the second time, it surfaced a little bit more. And the third time, it's a little bit more because of my mechanism of suppression to be able to survive from probably going crazy if I didn't do that.
Do you want to add? Do they want to add something?
Sincèrement, j'ai pas compris. J'ai fait beaucoup d'efforts pour écouter attentivement. Je comprends très peu. Bah, comme il a dit, bon, je comprends bon, peut-être. Quand on voit le film, sur le visage, le peuple cambodgien est triste. Je crois que c'est une profonde la culture de chez nous, les Cambodgiens, qui ont tendance à subir notre destin. Et en fin de compte, quand on, à un moment donné, il n'arrive plus à supporter, il se révolte un peu. Mais en réalité, c'est une race qui est gentille, douce et un peu naïve. Bon, c'est pourquoi moi, sincèrement, je suis très content que John l'a dit ici. Je dis remerciement sincère à John, mais tout là, j'ai oublié. Je dis ailleurs, en dehors de la salle, mais maintenant, je suis un peu trop ému, j'ai oublié. Mais merci sincèrement de faire un peu révéler tout ça pour...
In response to the question, I think a very kind of succinct response, which is that he sees in the sadness of the faces of Cambodian people that there is a tendency in the culture to suppress the idea of having control over one's fate, and this is something that he sees when thinking about the question that you asked. And also that
c'est comme c'est une race qui manque de la réalité de la vie et vous nous aidez à éveiller ça, c'est comme pour nous aider dans le profondeur de notre culture.
And it's a race who has lost a little bit or forgotten the reality of life, and this sort of experience helps to kind of reawaken this.
Merci.
Sir, I just wanted to say one last thing really quickly. We just finished the soundtrack, and I'm really, really happy with the soundtrack. It's got extensive liner notes, which is another way to learn about the music. And these guys
just
are all
came
on
out.
It
just came off the press.
Is it in the? Is it?
It's at our concession at the very low price of $15.
There's a party tomorrow at 95 Rivington that they'll be at, and we'll be playing the soundtrack and album and covers.
And they're all playing two sold out shows at City Winery this Friday night. So thanks so much to all of you for coming.
Thank you for listening to Film Forum's podcast. Visit us online at filmforum.org, where you can learn more about our films, memberships, subscribe to our free weekly e-newsletter, and to find out the ways you can support our nonprofit cinema. And if you have the time, please visit our iTunes page and leave a rating and review of our podcasts. Copyright to this program belongs to the Moving Image Incorporated.